God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, then I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I'd like to read some scripture this morning. begin with Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's pray. Lord, as we gather here this morning, and Lord, of course our hearts are heavy with sorrow, but Lord, thank you, Lord, according to the words we just read, Lord, we sorrow not as those that don't have any hope. Lord Jesus, you're our hope. And Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Lord, we thank you so much for the man, Lord, we're here to remember today. Lord, how you used him, Lord, to touch all the lives present. Lord, I thank you so much, God, as you've allowed Pastor Ross, Lord, while his time on earth to accomplish the things that he did for you. And Lord, we never forget, Lord, what he told us, Lord, how that you're always to receive all the honor and glory. And Lord, of course, we give that to you today. Lord Jesus, we just want to glorify and honor your name. Lord, I do pray that you'd comfort the sorrow today, those that are sorrowing. I pray that you would help the hearts that are broken today. And Lord, I pray that your presence, Lord, would be amongst us. And Lord, as Pastor Ross would want, Lord, I pray if there's someone that's not saved today, Lord, that they would accept you as their personal Savior so that they too, Lord, could experience the things that we as Christians do and so that they also could experience a heaven with you. And Lord, we just love you and we do pray that you'd be with the rest of this service. And we ask all these things in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Some glorious morning sorrows will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak, for me, for you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the songs. I appreciate the scriptures that were read. And I need to say to all of you how thankful I am to see you. And I want to say from the family, we're so glad that you're here. Just your presence means more than any of us could put into words. And I watched it bolster the spirit of my mother and my brothers, my sister, and extended family just looking down the line. Last night, as for about 3.5 hours, folks were patient and waited in line, and I would look down and see someone, and my heart would be filled with joy. Thank you. Amen. For coming. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Preachers, thank you for being here. And family, and I know many of you came at some great expense and personal sacrifice. And many of you, some of you came from great distances, and all of you took the time, and I appreciate it. You don't get to practice this one, so I'm going to do the best I can. Okay? But I'm happy to see you. And I had several of the preachers say, I said, how do I pull this off where you stay pastor and you can still be son? They said, I don't know, we'll pray for you. Now they said, I think you're allowed to be both. And so I'll probably be a little of both this morning if that's okay. I'm going to go to John chapter 1 and I'm going to bring the message out of that chapter. And if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. We didn't expect you to bring one. We would just read the scripture for you if you'd listen. And I want to take a little bit of time and eulogize Dad. And take a moment and as a son, honor my father. And so, John chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then in verse 19, there is an encounter between John and some people that were sent to get some answers. And verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, and here's the question I'd like you to ponder this morning. Who art thou? Who art thou? He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? He said, saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Well, you talk about some important questions. Here's John's answer in verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. I don't know if there's a more important question that a person should face. Sometime in your life you ought to face this question. It's a simple question that was posed several times to John the Baptist in this portion of Scripture. Here's the question. This is the way it was worded then. Who art thou? We might say today, who are you? That's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know, who are you? I believe that it's a question that each person needs to find an answer to. Young people, sometime in the process of growing up, you're going to have to figure that one out. You've got to figure that out. Who are you? You say, preacher, everyone knows about themselves. Well, I'm not sure everybody does know who they are. I think it's a wonderful thing when we are forced to sometimes find ourselves in front of a mirror asking ourselves that question before Almighty God, who exactly am I? They asked John, who art thou? And the one thing John made immediately clear to them was that he wasn't Jesus. He said, I'm not the light, the light, the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. That's not me. See, John knew that he was not the Son of God. He was sent by God, but he knew he wasn't God. You say, well, preacher, everyone knows that about themselves. Oh, you'd be shocked. How many people honestly believe that they're God? They wouldn't verbalize it, they wouldn't say it, but they live their lives as if they're answerable to nobody but themselves. As if they were responsible for their appearance on this earth, and that they have the power and should exercise the power to make every decision in their life without any divine help. But John didn't feel that way. John knew that there was a God, and John knew that he wasn't God. And they asked John then, are you Elijah? And you know what? John immediately said, nope, I'm not Elijah. Well, are you that prophet? And again, he said, no. Who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself? You know. Well, John was very comfortable in who he was. They said, are you Elijah? And immediately said, no, I'm not Elijah. By the way, I don't think John the Baptist spent his life trying to be Elijah. You know, one of the ways that you can find a place of peace in your life is to understand that God didn't create you to be somebody else. He created you to be you. A Holy Spirit filled you, but a you. So I don't think John the Baptist wrestled with trying to be Elijah or somebody else. And let me say this about my dad. He knew that he wasn't God, but he was sent by God. And you know what? He admired some great preachers, but you know what? He just was Bob Ross. He settled that very early in his life that he couldn't be this person and couldn't be that person. He would just be who he was as best as he could and live out his life to God's glory. He was just who God made him. The question kept coming because they're not getting a satisfactory answer. Who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself? Now, by the way, that's a great question. What sayest thou of thyself? You'll learn more about a person by how much they say about themselves and what they say about themselves than maybe any other thing. When given the opportunity to tout his calling or proclaim his pedigree, when given the opportunity to tell of his miraculous birth or wilderness training in the presence of God Almighty, John opted for a simpler, humbler answer. John just said this, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. I've had some time to try to answer that question about my dad. I'll be honest with you, and with the great flood, and by the way, many folks came last night that apologized and of course could not come today, and I'm still thankful that they took the time last night. But after everything was done and the last person left the church and the family gathered and we fellowshiped for a while and remembered for a while and then we scattered to our houses and then I went home to settle the kids that had came in and my grandchildren and spend some time. But I'm going to make a confession. By about 11 o'clock last night, I had not one clue what I was going to say today. It's just been too crazy. And so a preacher's wife, you preacher's wives, by the way, bless you. I have a wonderful preacher's wife who understands what it is to be married to a preacher. And I said, honey, I'm going to have to go back to the church and do some figuring. And she said, you take your time and go. And I want to thank God for that. It's nice having a funeral at the church house, especially if you got the key. And so I was able to come over last night in the quietness, and we left the platform lights on dim and be able to set in here and just read my Bible and meditate and clear my head and say, Lord, what in the world am I supposed to say tomorrow? And talk a little with Dad and remember. And then go into my office and say, okay, let's put the preacher hat on. Let's get busy. And let's hammer this out. And God was good to me last night. He took me to John chapter 1. I sat in here looking at Dad saying, Dad, I'm supposed to tell him about you. And there's a part of me, even though I'm your son, that probably I don't know. But I can answer some of the questions about Robert Ross, not all of them. There's probably, in some ways, some things about him that you may very well know that I wouldn't know. And there's some things that I would know that maybe you don't know. So I guess since I'm the one speaking, I'll tell you what I know about him, all right? Who was Robert Ross? Well, he was a son. He was the 9th child of Walter and Lena Ross. By the way, Dad spoke often and fondly of his parents. He was proud of his father's work ethic and no-nonsense ways. He had an old-fashioned dad. You know what? He was glad for that. Dad always said that Grandpa Ross put high value on honesty and integrity and hard work. Dad, I can tell you this, Dad loved his mother as maybe only the baby child can. And I know this, he grieved fiercely when she passed. Dad said that growing up, he can't remember ever seeing Grandma Ross sit down and do nothing. He said she was working all the time, and even when she sat down, her hands would be busy doing some small task that needed the doing. She was his mom. And now Dad grew up poor back in the day when poor meant poor. My mother once told me something about Dad at a time when I needed to hear it. She said, Jerry, if you're ever going to understand your dad, you'll have to understand that inside of him will always be that struggling poor bib overalls boy that lived by the railroad tracks in Fillmore, Indiana. The preacher, who was Robert Ross? Dad was first of all a son. Growing up, I remember Dad always kept a picture of his parents in three places. He kept one in his wallet, kept one on his bedroom dresser, and he kept one here at the church in his study on his desk. He loved his parents. He often used them in this pulpit. He used this pulpit often to publicly honor their memory and share his appreciation for these two special people who provided for him and loved him and disciplined him and trained him and set him on the road to manhood. Who was Robert Ross? He was a son. Who was he? He was a brother. Dad idolized his older siblings. He spoke of you all with grace and appreciation. I want to thank Herschel and Nancy and Marvin and Lois, Vera Jean and Wendell. I want to thank you for just being good brothers and a good sister to my dad. And as the clan started diminishing, it seemed like everybody realized the heightened importance of getting together more and more, and he cherished those times when it could work out. Matter of fact, I think you had one scheduled for this month, and it didn't go according to plan, but y'all did get together. Amen. I want to say thank you to him, too, for the visits that you made there at the hospital. When Herschel and when Marvin and then Vera Jean, and I know you and Wendell had no business coming over here on Sunday afternoon by yourselves. And I think you snuck out, didn't tell any of your kids, didn't you? Yeah, just snuck out. and made the trip all the way over to Union Hospital. But I was there, not for that visit, but others. And his face would light up when one of his brothers or his sister walked in. And he loved you guys dearly. Many of the things, most of you don't know this, but I do. Many of the things that Dad was gifted and given as a boy, many of the first time things that he ever possessed, being the youngest, his older brothers and sisters grew up and left the house and got jobs, but they didn't forget about little brother, and they would come back sometimes with a baseball or a bat or a bicycle. And you don't understand maybe, but most of the times when Dad got those things, it was the very first time he ever got anything like that brand new. It came from his brothers and his sisters. He'd always tell me about that. He never forgot it. Who was Robert Ross? He was a husband. He loved my mother. No, he didn't just love her. He adored my mother. Now, some young men have to go to a couple months of premarital counseling to learn how to be a husband, or to read a list of library books for instruction. But all I had to do to learn to be a good husband was to watch my daddy. Every day he showed us boys how to properly treat a wife. From him I learned to protect and to provide and to honor and to cherish a woman. And when my dad gave holy vows to my mom, he meant them. He meant them. Never has there been a shadow of scandal, nor even a passing interest in anyone other than my mom. Their love showed strong, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and it lasted till death did part them. In the closing years of his life, his greatest concern and his greatest efforts was to see to it she was properly cared for and provided in the event that he should pass. I think Dad knew that he'd go first. He wanted Mom taken care of. Now, their wish was that they'd be raptured together. Where's Mom? There you are. That's the way they always plan this thing. But I guess God had a different plan. But I will say this. Dad was a wonderful husband. And Mom, you were a good wife to him. Thank you. Who was Robert Ross? He was a father. He was a strong leader, a good provider, and a wonderful role model. And all of us kids would tell you that Dad loved his children. He loved us. He raised us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My father instilled in us children integrity, a work ethic, sense of responsibility, godly values, and firm convictions. He taught us all to find something bigger than ourselves to live for. By example, he showed us that material things were of small importance compared to the eternal responsibilities given to us by Almighty God. Now, Lori and Bob and me and David, we got to have our father for a lot of years. Yeah, we did. And we're thankful for that. Are you ever ready to see Dad leave? No. But you know what? I'm pretty thankful that we had him for as long as we did. Now, you may not know this, but I mentioned Lori, Bob, and me and David, but there's two of his children, twin babies who went from Mama's womb to heaven. And can you imagine what kind of reunion happened last Tuesday morning? I guess, brothers, I guess, Lori, that we had him for a long time, maybe it was their turn to have Daddy for a while. Who was this man? Who's Robert Ross? He was Papaw. He was Grandpa. God gave him 12 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. Although, according to my dad, all his grandchildren were great-grandchildren. I got a list of them here somewhere. I want to read the grandchildren's name. Aaron Boffman, of course, is his grandson, married Robin, and then Sarah Williford, and Daniel, who married Cammy, and Bethany, and Michael, who married Corey, and Joshua, who married Kelsey, and Amanda, who married Blaine, Hannah, who married Gerald, and Tabitha, who's working on it, Benjamin, who married Lacey, and Stephen and Jonathan. And that was the grandchildren. Now, I said he had 12 great-grandchildren, but there's 3 on the way, 9 here and 3 on the way. Caleb and Pacey and Gavin and Carter and Ariana and Shaylee and Julia and Brandon and Bryce. And then Corey's expecting and Amanda's expecting and Hannah's expecting. And I say, keep them coming. Keep them coming. If you go back there and look at the kiosk after the service, maybe you got to look at it before, there's some wonderful pictures that give you brief glimpses of young grandkids that are now grown adults. Every one of these grandkids I listed are grown-up folk now. But they are pictured there gathering to play at their all-time favorite place, and that was wherever Grandma and Grandma lived. Wherever the grandparents were, that's where they wanted to go. The dozen cousins. I know this for a fact, and I want you grandchildren to hear it. I know it for a fact. Dad never missed a day of taking you by name to the throne of grace. Never. He didn't miss a day. He carried you by name there. He prayed every day for you to be saved. As soon as he found out your mama was expecting you, he'd start praying. I said, Dad, they're not going to get saved till they get born. He didn't care. He prayed every day for you to be saved, and then prayed every day after that for you to be safe. He worried as only a grandpa can worry, and rejoiced as only a grandpa can rejoice, and grieved as only a grandpa can grieve. But I know this. He loved every one of you to his dying day, and he believed in every one of you. And there's not a one of you that didn't hold a special place in his heart. So he was a grandpa. Who is Robert Ross? Let me tell you this. He was a man. In every sense of the word, Dad was a man's man. He was strong, determined, steadfast, unmovable, and sometimes borderline stubborn. He was the first to admit that he wasn't perfect, the first to admit he was just a sinner saved by grace. But Dad held to the biblical values of masculinity. He worked hard and had little use for any man who would. He was a strong leader with strong convictions. He stood where he stood. He believed what he believed. He made compromisers angry, turncoats ashamed, wishy-washy preachers nervous, and he made feminists furious. I got to tell you a story about Dad. I shouldn't tell you most of these things, especially in his closing years, but he wasn't. As this brain tumor grew, his mental facilities were diminished, and he would get confused. But one day when he was in church over here, sitting right where you two are, you understand, Dad is the last person in the world that would deface any church property. But right in the middle of my sermon, he reaches over and gets a songbook, and he opens it up. He pulls out a pen, and he just starts underlining things in the songbook. And Mom is telling me this later. She said, I looked over, and then I looked at you, and then I looked over, and my husband's writing in the songbook. So she finally looked over and said, Bob, don't do that. And my dad stopped, looked over at her, got a big smile, and went. He may have been losing his mind, but he wasn't going to let a woman tell him what to do. was a man's man, but all the while he maintained the hallmarks of a Christian gentleman. He stood firm, but let me say this, folks. I can tell you because I've witnessed it, and so have most of you here. He would be the first to forgive, the first to restore, the first to defend the weak, the first to help the poor, and the first to reach out to someone who was an outcast. In many ways, my dad was a private man. If God did something miraculous, he certainly did it when he called my dad to the ministry. You have to understand, it was probably, he would have been considered by most of us the last prospect for such a proposition. My dad was a private man, a quiet man, much preferred solitude over multitudes. And, he was a man that enjoyed quiet meditations, a country boy who loved the quietness of the outdoors, a simple man with simple appetites. Little things were important to him, little pleasures were enjoyed and appreciated to the fullest. I think because Dad didn't have a whole lot growing up, that everything he got just seemed like bonus after that. So Dad was a man. Who was this man? He was a Christian. Amen. Let me say this above everything else. I think Dad was a great Christian. Amen. By Christian, I mean a born-again Christian. I mean a John 3:16 Christian. Christian means a lot of different things, but he wasn't ashamed of his Christian faith. He came to Jesus Christ in 1966. The end of a week-long revival meeting, last night of the revival meeting, threw the songbook down, walked the aisle, under heavy conviction of sin, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He believed that salvation was by grace through faith alone. He believed that if you added anything to that, it made it another gospel, which is not another. Like Saul, who became Paul, Dad spent his life sharing his salvation testimony. Wherever he went, to whomever he could get to listen to it. And you know what? Salvation changed Dad. It changed him forever. Amen. He'd become a new creature. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new. Who was this man? Who's Robert Ross? Dad was a preacher. 1970, after wrestling with God, trying to understand God's working in his life, Dad surrendered his life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Once he surrendered, he never looked back. Never considered another option, never chose another road. He was forever, forever a bondservant of Jesus Christ, a preacher of the gospel. He was an old-fashioned preacher, an old-fashioned King James Bible preacher. His philosophy was simple: read the Bible, study the Bible, preach the Bible. He never trimmed its message, never apologized for what it said. Spent 40 years lifting up his voice like a trumpet. Plowed straight furrows, planted precious seed. Because of that, by the way, this church, this place, next Sunday morning will be filled with strong Christians brought to maturity by strong, sound doctrine. He was a preacher. Who was Robert Ross? Dad was a pastor. Now, some men are preachers, but they never seem to figure out how to be a pastor. And some men are pastors, but they're not much preacher. Dad was blessed with a preacher's voice and a pastor's heart. He loved his people. Blessed Old Baptist Church members, he loved you. He loved you. There was no title more precious to my dad than that of pastor. He felt honored every day to wear it. And let me say this, every day he wore it with honor. For over 41 years, he was a credit to his calling. He loved the church people. His favorite place was being here with you. He loved it here. Several Bible colleges called wanting him to accept an honorary doctor's degree. He would have none of it. He just wouldn't have anything to do with it. So then they started calling me, telling me to talk him into taking a college degree. I said to several college presidents, "I don't think you understand the relationship I have with my father." I don't talk him into anything. He don't really want to do. He told me one day, he said, "Son, I'm not against other men having them, if that's what they want and that helps them. But what good would the title of doctor do me? I really think Dad was afraid if we put doctor on the sign, people would be knocking on the door, wanting him to cure his kids of their kids of the measles or something." I mean, this is Greene County. Told me, he said, "Jerry, God made me a pastor. I don't think anybody could improve on that title." Amen. My dad was a soul winner. Amen. Who was this man? He was a soul winner. He won many people to Jesus Christ. Dad loved to win men to Christ, man. He went after men. And many of the men here, Brother Pat, amen. Many of the men here in this room, my dad won to Christ. I got to stand here at the front of the church last night and shake many a man that looked at me and said, "Your daddy won me to Christ." Now, my dad had this habit. He'd like to find the honoriest, meanest, I mean the nastiest men in the community. And he'd just put them on his hit list. And he'd target them. He'd begin to pray for them. He'd go witness to them. Then he'd come back and witness to them. And he'd weep over them. And he'd make them mad. And when I realized what he was doing, I wanted just to call the poor guy up and say, "Let me just save you a lot of problems here. Just give up and get saved, because you're on his list. It's going to happen." And more times than not, he'd eventually lead him to the Lord. Steve Davis handed me a letter last night. One of the men, my dad reached for Christ, and he said, "There's no way I could talk. Would you read this?" And since he asked me to and handed it to me and spent time on it, I want to do that. One of the finest men I ever knew went home this week to be with his Lord. He said, "I couldn't know another ever would replace this man of God in my life. I loved him in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll miss him like I miss my real dad and more. He was the kindest, most honest, sincere person I've ever met in my whole life. He was God sent, to be sure. His words and actions came from another world, where he is smiling down on all of us now. It was a privilege to hear him preach. He was a preacher that made sense unto my wife and I, and changed our whole lives for the better by far. He had a very special way about him towards each and every one of us. It was showed in his preaching. Here was a man, I don't know of anyone like him. He stood up for me several times when no one else in the world would have. I'll never forget what Bob Ross done for me and my whole family. He was a real blessing to us throughout our whole lives. We will miss him greatly and won't ever forget him." And the honest truth, if I'd have put out a request, I could stand up here and read scores of letters like this from men whom Dad just said, "I'm going to love them till they get saved." Dad was a friend. Who was this man? He was a friend. Now, if you are a friend of my dad's, you'll know that he was a friend to his friend. If he decided to be your friend, I'll tell you this, you had one. Dad loved young preachers. He decided later on in life that he'd just spend his life being an encourager to young men in the ministry. God sought out people, not just preachers, but people that other people tended to overlook. He loved to befriend somebody that didn't have a friend. He seldom saw what others saw. I think that while others were evaluating what a person was, Dad was figuring out what they could be. He loved the down and outers. He loved bus kids. He loved poor people. I once told him this. I said, "Dad, you're the patron saint of lost causes." He told me this. He said, "Jerry, as long as someone's still breathing, that person's not a lost cause." Amen. I just went ahead and wrote that down, decided I'd live that way too. Along with being a great son, brother, husband, I gotta include this last one. Along with being a great son and brother and husband and father and grandpa and great-grandpa, a great man and a great Christian and a great preacher and a pastor and a soul winner and a friend, there was one more thing that Dad was. I hate to add this one, but he was a man who hated it when someone bragged too much on anyone but Jesus. Which means I'm probably in a lot of trouble right now. I have a feeling by now God's up in heaven trying to talk Jesus into sending an angel down to tap me on the shoulder and say, "Shut up. Go down there and tell him that if he's going to say something about me, he needs to remind the people the greatest lesson I ever taught him." Yep. And that's this: give God the glory.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Exalt Jesus Christ. Give God credit for everything. Lift up the Savior. The answer to the question, who was Robert Ross? If Dad had a chance to answer that question, he would say something like this: it doesn't matter who I am, it matters who Jesus is.
Yes, sir.
Now, I never attended a funeral that my dad preached where he did not tell people how to get saved. So I am for sure not going to leave that out of this one. You see, Dad would say, change the title of this whole thing. Don't preach on who was Robert Ross. You preach on who was Jesus. So I'm going to tell you, who was Jesus? Well, he was the Son of God.
Amen.
My dad believed that because the Bible taught. Jesus was sent by God the Father to be born of a virgin, born in a manger. He lived a perfect life as the Son of God. Because he lived a perfect life, he was qualified to die on an old rugged cross. And when he died on that cross, he did not have to die for any of his sins, because he was the perfect, sinless Son of God.
Amen.
And because he was, and he didn't have to die for his sins, he was qualified to die for the sins of all of the world. That means he died for my sins and your sins and all of our sins. Jesus was that sacrificial lamb. He came down to be a substitute for us. Because we're all sinners, and because we're all deserving of a devil's hell because of our sin, and by the way, if we don't do anything about it, that's exactly where we'll end up.
Yes, sir.
No man is born saved, we're all born lost. But because we needed a Savior, Jesus came down and said, I'll tell you, if the wages of sin is death, I'll go ahead and pay that, I'll die. And I'll take care of that punishment for them. And that made Jesus the Savior of the world. And it allowed Paul to pen these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whenever I preach the gospel, I said, Dad, give me some advice. When I'm just preaching a gospel message, he said, son, keep it simple, keep it simple. Remember, it's not hard, keep it simple. Well, what is it when we preach it simple? What is it, preacher? We're sinners. Because of our sin, we are headed to a devil's hell. God loved us so much, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Jesus left the portals of heaven, was born in a humble stable by a little virgin girl, and grew up as the perfect sinless Son of God. He died on an old rugged cross, and Jerry Ross's sins was put on him that day, and God punished him instead of me. And because of that, he made heaven available to me. But just because Jesus died for you does not mean that everybody is automatically saved. He provided a gift, and the gift is eternal life. But every single person has to decide whether or not they're going to receive or reject that gift. And right now, as we begin to wind down the service, I would wish for you to look back on the timeline of your life, from the time that you were born to this present time. As you review the history of your life, can you find that place, that spot, that moment where you came under conviction of sin that you were lost, felt the drawing of the Father, understood the gospel, Jesus died for me, was buried and rose again, and because of that, he's offering me eternal life. And have you ever, with a repentant heart, called upon Jesus Christ and asked him to be your Savior? I got great news for you. If you have not ever done that, you can take care of that right now today in this service. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no second, third, fourth, fifth way to do it. It's Jesus or nothing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so if you are here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you say, preacher, I do feel the conviction of God upon my life. I realize that I'm not saved. I do feel like God's dealing with me right now about this matter. And you're willing to pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you, I would rejoice with you. And we have a whole bunch of folks in this building that would rejoice along with you in making that decision for Jesus Christ today. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to speak for some time about my father and then speak about the one whom my father spoke about. Thank you for allowing me to share the gospel. Lord, if there's anyone here that's unsaved, and right now, dear God, you're working in their heart, they know they're lost and they would like to be saved, I pray that they would be saved even now, dear God, during this time of prayer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today without Christ as your Savior, say, "Preacher, I've needed to do this for a long time. I'm ready today. I'm ready to be saved today." Would you simply, with a sincere heart, pray with me this prayer? Pray it to God. Just don't repeat meaningless words. Pray it to God and mean it with all of your heart. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I do believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were buried. And I believe that you rose again. Please give me the salvation that you bought for me. I do now accept you as my personal Savior. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you just now prayed that prayer and you received Christ as your Savior, would you give testimony to that? If you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand right now as testimony of the fact that you just received Christ as your Savior? Would you raise your hand high so that I could see that hand? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the sweetness of this hour, the strength that you've given us, Lord, the grace that's come through the scriptures, through the songs. And I would ask, Lord, now as we conclude the service, that you would bless, please. Be with Mom in a special way in the days and weeks ahead. Be that one that comes alongside her and helps her and strengthens her, Lord. In her times of loneliness and times of testing, we pray for the family, Lord. We pray for the children and the grandchildren. We pray for the friends, dear God. Thank you for friends. Thank you for the church family, Lord, who's going through this along with the regular family, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them, dear God. We are honored to have been here this morning. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Aaron and Daniel, could I get you to help me with these flowers? My dad, and we're going to close the service this way. My dad loved the children, and that's what he was all about. And so Mom said that he wanted to hear the children sing, and my dad loved the song that we chose this year for our theme song at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, "To Be Like Jesus, To Be Like Jesus, All I Ask to Be Like Him." I moved those flowers because I also know enough about children to know there was no way we were going to get them all up here on the stage without one of them tripping over those planters. So if I could have the children come up at this time, all of you, come on right up here by me, come up on the platform, just get in here behind the pulpit, crowd along in beside Pastor Jerry. We won't have any rhyme or reason, just scrunch on up here, don't be shy. Come on in as close as you can get, okay? Come on. How we doing here? Let's get sorted, guys. Guys always got to sort themselves out. Come on up, Sammy. Come over here by Pastor Jerry. Okay. Let me have you stand right over here, okay, so they can see you. All right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to lead you guys in this. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him.
To be like
Jesus. Sing it out.
To glory, all I ask to be like.
Now you got a chance to get the nerves out, okay? Now we're going to sing it like Blessed Hope Kids, all right? Here we go, ready? It's as loud as you can. I mean, belt it out. Here we go, ready? Play them on down. You can all go back to your seats, okay? Thank you, children. God bless you. Thank you. I know Dad loved that. He was looking down from heaven, shouting. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lauren. I'm going to ask a couple of favors if I can. In a minute, I'm going to turn it over to Mike Cox, and I need to thank you, Mike. You have, as always, done a wonderful job for my family and special care for my father. Thank you for all that you've done for us. He's going to take over this portion of the service and begin to dismiss people. And we'll dismiss everybody except for family, and we want the family to hang tight for a little bit. And then once we get everyone else out, we'll shut the back doors if we can, Mike, and just give the family a little bit of time, and then we won't take long. I would also ask all of the preachers that are here, and thank you, gentlemen, thank you so much. If you would meet Brother Reiser, and I'm talking about everybody that's here that's a preacher, a pastor, youth pastor, missionary. If you're ordained in the gospel ministry, I want you to meet my youth pastor there in the back. And while the family's having their time, he'd like you to help me and my family with a little special project as we dismiss Dan. So